My dear brothers and sisters, today's gospel, the parable of the wedding guest, is connected with two other parables that we also find in the gospel according to St. Matthew. And these parables come right before the parable of the wedding guest. So bear with me for a few minutes. One of those parables is the parable of the two sons. One of the sons was asked by his father to go to work to the vineyard, and he said, "I will not go." But then he changed his mind and he did go to work. The other son said, "Yes, I will go to work." But then he did not go. And Jesus uses this parable to compare it to the situation of the chief priest and the elders of the Jewish people. Jesus says that sinners, prostitutes, tax collectors will precede these elders, this chief priest, into the kingdom of heaven because they heard and believed in the message of St. John the Baptist, but this chief priest and the elders did not want to believe in the message of St. John the Baptist, even though what they had seen. The other parable is the parable of the wicked tenants who did not give the fruit expected by the master. The parable says that they beat and kill and stone those servants sent to collect the fruit of the vineyard. Furthermore, these tenants even dared to kill the only son of the householder. And our Lord says about the stone rejected by the builders, "Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a nation producing the fruits. And he who falls on this stone will be broken into pieces. When it falls on anyone, it will crush him." And then we have today's parable, the parable of the guests to the wedding. Those guests who were invited many times by the king for the wedding of his son. But some of them went their way, refusing to accept the invitation of the king. And others seized the king's servants, treating them shamefully, and finally killed them. And the king destroyed the city of those murderers and invited others who did accept the invitation of the king. At the beginning, I said that these three parables are connected because all of them refer to the rejection of Israel to their God. God sends prophets and finally his most beloved son into his chosen people, but they refused to believe in him. They rejected the plans of universal salvation that God had for everyone. The new, the eternal covenant that God is going to have is going to be with a new people, a new nation, as Jesus says, and it's going to be with the church. And the way into this new covenant, with this new people, with this new nation, is going to be always through the Son, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we know this truth, my dear brethren, but it's very important to remember because so many times it seems forgotten in our modern times and even sometimes in our own Holy Mother Church. With this idea of the universal brotherhood and fellowship among men, how each is free to approach his own God, what really matters is to desire and to work for peace, to work and desire solidarity, to work for the poor, to work for the planet. All these things may make us forget, my dear brethren, that Jesus, our Lord, is the only way to the Father, the only way to heaven. He is our rock, he is our stronghold, he is our gate to the Father in heaven, And this is a truth that is being reminded to the followers of Christ again and again. Our Lord himself declares, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one that he sent." Now this is the eternal life, that they should know you, the only true God, and the one whom you have sent, Jesus Christ. And finally, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." St. Peter, when he was facing the elders, the chief priests, the leaders of the Jewish people, he will not hide this truth. There is no salvation through anyone else, nor there is any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved. And finally, St. John, the beloved disciple, he cannot be more clear. "No one who denies the Son has the Father, but whoever confesses the Son has the Father as well." As I said, my dear brethren, we live in difficult times, and very easily when we treat with people of other religions, with people who do not believe in God, but they do desire the peace, they do desire the good intentions for the human race, maybe we may feel a little bit fear to confess this truth. But we have to do it. To believe in the true God, to believe in Jesus Christ, our Savior, to belong to the true Church, the Holy Mother Catholic Church, that is an honor for us. Doesn't make us better than the other people. We certainly should be better because we have been blessed very much by God. But doesn't make us better, make us blessed because of our faith. And because of that, we have the duty to defend and to announce this truth to everyone, my dear brethren. Our way of salvation, our way to heaven, to the Father, is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Even for the Jewish people, even for those who keep following the law of the Old Testament, their way of salvation also lies in believing in Jesus Christ sent by God the Father. So important, my dear brethren, to remember this truth and to make it our own. In today's gospel as well, dear brethren, we're going to find a very important detail. Among those who did believe in the Son, who did accept the invitation of the king to go to the wedding of his son, there was one who did not have the wedding garment. And this man was thrown out of the wedding. There are many, many interpretations of this passage about the wedding garments. One of them is that the wedding garments are the works and deeds that have to accompany the virtue of faith. We have been invited and we have accepted this invitation. We have believed in the king. We have accepted his son. But we have to come to the wedding of the son in proper garments. We have to accompany this virtue of faith with works and deeds. And once again, this truth that is so obvious, so fundamental in our faith, has to be reminded so many times. Because I'm sure that you, my dear brethren, as I do, know many people who say and proclaim that they believe in God, that they believe in Jesus Christ. They even believe in the Catholic Church. But then they do not accompany that faith with works and deeds. How many times it happens in my church in Moscow, where I come from, that people will not go to Holy Mass, to Sunday Mass, fundamental obligation for a Catholic, because they have a special relation with God. Of course they believe in God, of course they believe in Jesus Christ and in the Church, but they don't see their duty to assist every Sunday to Holy Mass. or the people who don't need confession because they have a special relationship with God and God forgives all their sins. Doesn't matter, they don't have a priest. We're going to find, my dear brethren, even cases in which works and deeds contradict the very faith that some people proclaim to profess. How many politicians we know in this country that they say that they believe in God, they believe in Jesus Christ, they believe in the church, they are devout Catholics, and yet with their teachings, their beliefs, what they say and promote, they contradict that faith in God, in Jesus Christ, and to follow, to be in the Catholic Church. So that's why, dear brethren, do we have to believe in God, in Jesus Christ, accept that invitation? Of course we have to do it, but at the same time, we have to go to the wedding of the Son with the proper garments. We need to accompany that faith with words and deeds. Otherwise, the same that happened to that man is going to happen to us. We will be thrown out of the weddings of the Son. There's another interpretation also of these wedding garments. It was the great Pope, Saint Gregory the Great, that said that the wedding garments refer to the virtue of charity, to the virtue of love. So that who enters into the wedding feast without the proper garments is the one who is in the church, who has faith, but does not have charity, does not have love. And all of us, my dear brethren, know that charity is the fundamental virtue to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as you will love yourself. And we know that without charity, the knowledge that we may have of God, our deeds, our works, even our faith is fruitless, is useless. As it is said by St. Paul when he wrote to the Corinthians, if I spoke the language of men and the language of angels, but I do not have charity, this is useless for me. If I have all the knowledge on earth, even if I have the virtue of prophecy and I know all the mysteries, if I don't have the virtue of charity, it is useless to me. Even if I have faith as to move mountains, even if I offer my body as a sacrifice, if I don't have charity, if I don't have love, all this is useless. All this is fruitless. And this virtue of charity, this virtue of love, my dear brethren, is so important that the Lord was very specific of how this virtue had to be. That's why St. Paul continues in his letter to the Corinthians, love is patient, love is kind. It is not jealous, it is not boastful, it is not arrogant, it is not rude. It does not seek its own interest, it is not quick-tempered or resentful. It does not brood over injury, it does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity will be forever. This is the virtue, my dear brethren, that should inform every action in our lives. As I said, that love for God above all things and the love of our neighbor as ourselves. Those are the things that will take us to the wedding of the Lamb. Those are the things that will allow us to be present and to enjoy the wedding of the Son of the King. We need to believe. We need to have faith. We have to accompany that faith with deeds, with actions, with works. And those deeds, those actions, and those works must have one fundamental virtue, which is the virtue of charity, the virtue of love. Let us pray, dear brethren, this Holy Mass, that we may not lack any of these when we have to face our beloved God, that we may have that faith that we have not given up, even though difficult times we have to suffer, that we have accompanied those, that faith with works, with deeds, with actions. And every one of those deeds, works, and actions have this fundamental virtue, the virtue of charity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.